wazobona wazobuka wazobona wazobuka izodlala iTV uzaphe
Rage ngeke idlale iTV if you love iDisc and don't have iDS. That's why you should get DStv Compact so you can bula iFestive and SuperDisc with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DStv Compact. Hey, kumnandi khaya.
Good afternoon and welcome to the big interview brought to you by DStv Compact. Recently, FIFA handed down a judgment stating that Kaizer Chiefs have been issued a transfer ban for the next two transfer windows over the signing of Andrea Mirado, Andrea Narimanana, also known as Dax, back in August of 2018. Furthermore, Dax himself has been banned from football for 4 months and issued a fine of 600,000 rand and upwards. But why was Dax cleared by FIFA to play for Kaizer Chiefs back in 2018? Why does he claim to have been a free agent while his previous club, Forza Juniors, claim he was still under contract? And why are the players and clubs facing this reality 1.5 years after the transfer in question? With rumors swirling and confusion brewing, I called noted sports lawyer Farai Rosano of Rosano Attorneys, who has dealt with similar situations in the past, to get the facts straight. I am your host, Slu Paho, and this is Soccer La Duma Radio.
Soccer La Duma Radio.
Who will be Dikakapa Tsadiski on the Absa Premiership? Bula SuperDisc to find out. Catch over 200 Absa Premiership matches, all live and in HD, only on SuperSport. Don't miss any action. Bula Disc on DStv Compact. Kumnande Kaya. Good afternoon, Farai. Slu here from Soccer La Duma. How are you doing?
Good, and you, Slu?
All good, all good. So I want to set the scene first. So back in 2018, Kaizer Chiefs signed Dax from Forza Juniors. That September, they claimed that the transfer was cleared by FIFA. To start, in simple terms, why have Kaizer Chiefs now been banned for two transfer windows?
As you would have noted that... Since the initial provisional registration that they were allowed to proceed with, Forza then filed a claim saying that he had a contract with them, and FIFA ruled in Forza's favor. So that's how the ban comes into the picture after having been allowed to register the player in the first place.
So... Chiefs have been barred now for two transfer windows. What is the next step? Before we dive into the situation itself, what is the next step for Kaizer Chiefs at the moment?
They have a right of appeal. So depending on when exactly they receive the ruling, they have 21 days to file an appeal. And they file that appeal with CAS, and within 10 days of notifying CAS of the appeal, they must file what we call an appeal brief, where they basically set out their grounds of appeal and their case. And from there, it becomes a procedural thing. It's a backwards and forth. Forza will have to file their response. FIFA sometimes opposes these appeals, so they might oppose this appeal. Then there'll be an issue of whether there must be a hearing or the matter must be decided on the papers. If I were in Kaizer Chiefs or Dax's shoes, I probably would ask for a hearing, because from what I've seen or heard, it looks like there are a lot of disputes of facts in the matter. So they don't want it to be decided on papers. They actually want to leak evidence, that sort of thing. And that's a process that could take time. It's not a process that would be finalized within the next few weeks. It could spill into a year.
From your understanding, why does it take FIFA so long to make a ruling like this?
One of the things is the procedural issues. As I said, these things are decided primarily on paper. So when you file a claim, it's assumed that it will be decided on papers. There will be no hearing, unless if certain exceptional circumstances manifest in the claim, then FIFA might have a hearing. But the downside of this backwards and forth of papers is that the claimant files his claim today. FIFA takes a good week or two to read through and understand what's going on. Then they notify the other side and give them 28 days or 30 days to reply. They go back to the original claimant. They give them another 30 days. Then they come back to the respondent, give them. So because there's no hearing where you just convene in one place and you quickly deal with the facts or the matters, the system is designed to take that long.
So back in 2018, Chiefs claimed that they believed Dax was a free agent, while Fosa Jr. said that he was still under contract. How can a mistake like this happen? Because I'm confused about why wouldn't Fosa Jr. just produce the said contract and you know, do away with this issue immediately?
Yeah, it's also a question that I have, and running the risk of I'm defaming them. I actually think this is Fosa now. If they had the contract, they should have just produced it and said, look, we have a contract with this guy. Here it is. This is what it says. If he denied it, then he had a chance to deal with it back in 2018. But what they did, from what I've read and seen, they told Kaiser Chiefs that, no, he has a contract, never produced it. At the time the provisional registration was granted, Fosa had still not produced the contract. It was sometime later, I think after December, when they filed their claim. In fact, not even when they filed their claim. They filed their claim without the contract, in fact. They only produced it later, as I understand it. So you can start asking questions there, that if you're acting in good faith, why don't you just produce the contract? Say, he's contracted, he has the contract. And Chiefs at that stage could have decided whether they want to pursue this player or not. But what has happened is, after Chiefs has signed the player, then Fosa comes with a contract which had its own issues, from what I gather, whether the player had actually signed it or not.
So how were FIFA able to clear Dax to play for Chiefs, given that Fosa had already claimed that he was under contract with them still? Why were they able to clear him to play regardless of that fact?
Well, there's a long and short answer to your question, but maybe for the benefit of listeners, we can go into the long answers briefly. So what has happened is, this transfer and clearance system has been open to abuse by clubs. If a club didn't want a player to join a certain club, they would simply claim that, no, he's contracted to us. And then the dispute would take forever to be finalized while the player is sitting at home or is not playing. So FIFA, obviously, to circumvent that or to deal with that, decided that if there is a claim by a club that a player is contracted to them, to allow the player to play in the interim while this matter is being dealt with, and to ensure that he's not prejudiced, FIFA can, on papers, decide whether the player should be registered or not. So where the player in the new club can show a prima facie case, let's say that he's entitled to move on with his life, FIFA will grant that provisional registration, but it's obviously subject to the main matter being dealt with, as has happened in this case. So Kaiser Chiefs and Dax would have said to FIFA, he doesn't have a contract with Fosa. He must be allowed to move on with his life. He must be allowed to play. And FIFA agreed at that time. And then, as I understand it, Fosa only came 2 or 3 months later with a claim now to say, this is our claim, we need it to be dealt with. So there's nothing improper or could there be suggestions of impropriety on the side of Kaiser Chiefs, Dax, or FIFA for allowing him to be registered provisionally while the matter is being dealt with? That's the process.
So FIFA stated that according to the transfer management system, they were able to allow Dax to move on. But shouldn't the system itself have information on Dax's active contracts, if there were any?
That's one of the questions I'm also asking. And if you link that to the doubts existing, or the doubts that Kaiser Chiefs and Dax would have raised on the issue of the contract, one certainly should be able to pick those things up and say, well, this document must be loaded on TMS. If the contract existed, it should have been loaded right when Dax was being registered. But I'm not privy to how the TMS system works in practical terms. I only have theoretical knowledge of how it should work. maybe the association in Madagascar doesn't operate in that way that they load these things immediately. But you are right. It's something that should be picked right from the beginning.
So just for argument's sake, just to stay on the theoretical side of things, of course, you don't want to accuse anyone of anything. But what if the appeal process proves that Fosa Jr. Forged Dax's contract, the new one that they claim that he signed?
Then they would give disciplinary measures. A conduct would have contravened the FIFA regulations, and they were also under an obligation to tell the truth to assist the process. If it turns out that they forged, I think there will be penalization either in Madagascar by the Madagascar Association or FIFA disciplinary steps against them. But obviously, on over and above, Dax might have a civil claim against them, because you can imagine what is going through because of this whole ordeal, and in the end to be discovered that the contract was forged.
So in the meantime, they fined him with 600,000 rand or above, and I believe that fee is to be shared between Dax and Kaizer Chiefs. But would they be entitled to compensation for the months that Dax misses in terms of playing time now in the PSL?
Would who be entitled to compensation?
Would both for the amount paid on behalf of Kaizer Chiefs and Dax in terms of his playing time, would they be compensated for those 4 months that he misses in playing time, and would Kaizer Chiefs be compensated for the 600,000 paid?
No, not at all. So what the rules say is, in addition to compensation, in this case they say they must compensate for 600 and whatever thousand rand, sporting sanction can be imposed on a party that is wrong. So Fosa gets their money, but he then also is punished over and above paying the money to Fosa. And no one gets compensated, really. If there's any possibility of compensation, maybe you could be looking at Black Leopards, who are now finding themselves in a mess when they never really were involved from the start. Because he is now banned to play while he's at Black Leopards, not at Chiefs. Or even if he left Black Leopards, the next club that he joins, for as long as that four-month period has not been served, he will have to serve that punishment at that new club.
So this brings up a question in my mind about the protection of players in Africa versus, say, Europe. I don't believe I've seen a similar situation on the European stage. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. But what do you think this situation says about how players are treated and the lack of, let's say, consistency when it comes to football associations on the continent?
I think in Europe, to the extent that there are these sorts of things, yeah, probably relates to very minor, when I say minor, I say it with respect, but not very prominent footballers that you and I wouldn't hear about it or care about it. But where it all started was with Bosman in Belgium many years ago, where a sort of similar thing happened where his club wouldn't register him, didn't want him anymore, but they wouldn't let him move to a new club. And there was a huge litigation, which FIFA, by the way, opposed at that time. They thought their rules were the best, but it took the European Court of Justice to say, no, this system of transfers, holding on to players, doesn't work. It infringes on human rights. So I think in Europe, because of Bosman, everyone is alive to these issues, including the intermediaries or agents of players. And most of the clubs wouldn't take those risks because the systems would probably work. But if you come back to Africa now, where not every association is well administered or runs its affairs properly, some of them don't have access to this technology that FIFA now pushes for. And then most of the players are probably also not educated on these issues. I've seen or read cases from all over Africa where players don't get copies of their contracts when they sign them. And probably that's what happened here if there was a contract. So it then becomes difficult to understand who's doing what, because players just sign, don't get copies of the contracts. The association doesn't keep files of those things. And when a dispute arises like now, then a contract appears from somewhere and it's alleged to have been signed by the player. And by the way, and I digress, but I've read elsewhere that in this case, Kaizer Chiefs and Ducks actually filed an expert's report saying he didn't file, Ducks didn't sign the contract. But FIFA chose to go on a layperson's assessment of whether the signatures were the same. And so you can't help but laugh at some of the things that have transpired here, where an expert's opinion is ignored over a layperson's view of, yes, we compared the signatures, we think they are the same. And those are things that would make a difference between Europe and Africa. I don't know if every footballer has access to experts' evidence when they have to prove that they didn't sign these contracts. Clubs could easily just trace these contracts, and from a layperson's views, the signatures will look the same.
This is the thing that's confusing, is that FIFA, apparently did hire an expert, and yet they ignore the expert's opinion on the signature and choose to ban Kaizer Chiefs from the next two transfer windows, which has a ripple effect on their next season and the season after that. And so it almost doesn't bring into question whether FIFA itself is just as potentially corrupt as some of these African footballing associations?
I don't know whether you could, in this context, speak of corruption, but I would probably think their system wouldn't be the best system to be dealing with these issues, especially where there's a dispute of fact as to someone signed a contract or not. You choose to decide that matter on papers instead of calling the people to come and testify in front of you. Because then if a person is sitting in front of you, you can cross-examine them. You can check their demeanor and see who's lying, who's not, that sort of thing. So, yes, I would agree that the system would probably be lacking. Whether that's due to corruption or just poor administration, I don't know. But I would certainly think the system could be improved, or it's not the best system to be dealing with this sort of dispute.
What do you think are some steps that could be taken to ensure that contract disputes like this don't happen in future? What do football associations need to get right that they've gotten wrong here?
Well, I suppose it also varies from association to association. So if you look at here in South Africa, the league requires you to file a copy of the contract or an extract of the copy, but at least there must be an accompanying document to show that there's a contract from 1 July 2019 to 30 June 2020. It's not a matter of a club simply claiming that, oh, Farai is our player, we are here to register him, and he gets registered. A copy of contract or evidence that there's a contract is required. So when there's a dispute like this, and I've dealt with a lot of these disputes in the local context, one of the things is before the league changed its systems and went with the PAIA, or Promotion of Access to Information Act, a player could simply write to the league CEO and say, I'm contracted to Farai FC. I need a copy of my contract because I know it was lodged. And the league would release it. Even now the system is a bit more complicated because you must complete the PAIA form and all that. But if you need a copy of your contract, you can claim it and the league would provide it. Now, you can imagine if that was the case with Dax in his home country, he could have simply said, hey, they are claiming I have a contract. They would have lodged it. I want a copy of it now. And if it was lodged and it existed, it would have been provided. rather than waiting for after the fact.
So PSL prosecutor Nande Becker recently denied to comment to Kickoff on the matter. What is the actual role of the PSL and SAFA in a matter like Dax's and Kaizer Chiefs?
Pretty much nothing other than playing a post box, because this is a civil claim between FOSA, Kaizer Chiefs and Dax, which is being dealt with by FIFA. So all that FIFA does is send correspondence to Kaizer Chiefs, FOSA and Dax, and probably copy the associations. All they have is to pass that you have to do is to pass those correspondence. It's not a PSL matter at all, or a SAFA matter. It may become a PSL or SAFA matter at a later stage. Let's say, let's assume Kaizer Chiefs goes ahead and loses on appeal, and then FIFA says, and then they don't pay, like what happened in the AmaZulu kind of thing, where FIFA will then institute disciplinary proceedings and then ask SAFA and the PSL to enforce the sanctions. But as it stands, I agree with Mr. Becker. There's nothing much that the league or SAFA should be getting involved in. It's almost a private dispute.
And so for the time being, we just have to wait for the appeal process to take its course and for FIFA to make further rulings. And, you know, there's nothing really, I suppose, that Kaizer Chiefs could do in the meantime otherwise, right?
Well, other than wait for the appeal, and which, well, by the way, this is one important thing, that the ruling becomes effective once Kaizer Chiefs and Dax have exhausted all their available remedies. So if the appeal is going to take the next 3 years, Kaizer Chiefs can still register players during that period until the appeal is finalized. And obviously, if it's then finalized against them, then they will be barred from the registering players.
Oh, I see. So in the meantime, they can still sign once they file the appeal, they can still sign players.
Yes. And one thing that must be differentiated as well is I haven't seen the actual wording of the ban, but generally these bans do not affect academy or development players. So Kaizer Chiefs could promote 20 or 30 players from the academy into the main team and they'll be able to register them.
Understood. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show, Farai Razano. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for clearing some stuff up for us, and have a good afternoon further.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
And that's all for the big interview brought to you by DSTV Compact. This is an ongoing situation that Soccer La Duma will be following closely, so stay tuned. Thank you to my guest, Farai Razano of Razano Attorneys. From myself, your host, Salu Paho, and my editors, Simon Strella, have a fantastic day.
If you love it, Disky, and don't have it, DS. That's why you should get DSTV Compact, so you can rely festive and super Disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on Supersport on DSTV Compact. Hey, kumnandi ekhaya.